Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day, Cephalon Collective. Where's the cheese? I think only the old Australians will get that joke. It's episode 130 of Cephalon Squared, and I've just alienated 75% of the listener base. How you doing? My name's Cephalon Greg. Who are you, Lucas?
I'm Cephalon Lucas. Hi.
I'm all over the shop today. Off to
it's
a great start.
One of those
start.
Days.
Yeah. Yep. It's one of those weekends.
You don't want to wake up.
Yes, I heard. I was trying to ignore because, you know, Limp Bizkit. Didn't want to continue to be ashamed of you, but I guess I'm going to have to. Like a chainsaw.
Ashamed of me? Yeah, sure.
I'll skin your ass raw. It's funny. As much as I absolutely abhor Limp Bizkit and Fred Durst and everything he stands for, I know all the words to those goddamn songs, don't I? Because they played everywhere.
They really did.
Anyway, moving right along. How's the weather up north?
Weather rambles.
It's been a weird last couple of days.
It has.
To say the least. So, you know, we're in the middle of summer, and it's currently in the middle of the day, 24 degrees Celsius, which is 76 Fahrenheit for you Fahrenheit folks, with a 57% humidity. Can't get the words out. So it's actually been kind of nice.
Mild. Yeah.
Pleasant, even.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas down here in Melbourne, it's 27 degrees Celsius. That's 81 Fahrenheit, 53% humidity, which isn't a massive step beyond what it is up in Queensland, but I just spent the day out at the zoo looking at animals in captivity. So it was hot and I needed to drink a lot of water, and I'm not sure if I did. So if I pass out, you've been a wonderful community. Thank you.
I'm sure you'll be fine.
I'm sure I will. I had like 3 or 4 massive glasses of water when I got home. I did take a bottle of water with me. I'm not a complete moron, but just mostly.
Did you wear sunscreen?
I did, but I didn't wear a hat because I have a massive head and I look ridiculous when I wear a hat, much to my wife's dissatisfaction. She's like, well, you're going to get sunburn on your head and then you're going to lose all your hair. That's what she sounds like.
I've heard your wife. I concur. Very accurate.
Thank you. And I don't care, you know, I'm getting old and I've still got all the hair on my head. I should be proud I've reached this far.
Well done.
So neither my dad nor my brother did. So take that. I'm one ahead. Anyway, enough of my hair. What'd you get up to in video games and Warframe this week? Anything? Huh?
Well, Warframe has actually been completely ignored this week, unfortunately. I know, bad Lucas. Because I've been playing The Elder Scrolls Online.
Mm-hmm. Which I told you about months ago, and you're only finally getting into it. Bloody hell.
Yeah, and it's funny, the second I get into it, I drag everyone else into it, including Greg. Greg's back into it.
I was hoping everyone would get into it, but no, nobody likes things I like. I just got everyone into Genshin, but that's fine.
Yeah, you got everyone into Genshin and then stopped playing.
Yeah, that's the way I do things.
So that was the thing. I've also been doing a bit of streaming this week. Streamed on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. ESO for the first 2 days, and at the end of Wednesday's stream, I decided to duck in and do a little bit of practice for Shovel Knight speedrunning. So that's something that's been worked on. I'm working on it. All right. And then Thursday was a lot more relaxed and laid back, and I streamed some Jurassic World Evolution.
Oh, how is that game?
I freaking love it.
Isn't that like part world builder?
It is exactly world builder. It's you build Jurassic World.
Okay, now I'm
going to get it. And you have dinosaurs that can break through gates and cause mayhem and havoc, and you have to drive the helicopter and trank them and have them transported back to the cage, and then drive the Jeep to the cage and have it repaired. It's so freaking awesome.
Nice. Can you mate the dinosaurs and make bigger ones? Bigger, more dangerous ones?
You can make dinosaurs. You can actually make them more dangerous. There is a whole genome system where you can increase their attack power, survivability, defense, their age range, how susceptible they are to disease. It's awesome. You can even like change the genome to determine what color they'll be.
Nice. So knowing the type of games you've been into in the past, can you also mate with them or date them?
No.
Okay, just check.
No.
I have been interested in that game.
It's so much fun. Once you get into it, once you get the flow of things, it's really easy to make cash. I think I'm onto the second park in the campaign at the moment, and I'm earning like $500,000 every minute.
Oh, it's nothing.
And you know, I think I just made my first dinosaur that was worth just shy of $1 million. But yeah, super fun, freaking love it. Definitely suggest getting into it if you're into those kind of world building, civilization-ish games.
Interesting. It's
really, really fun.
I'm pretty sure it's on Xbox Games with Gold or something, Game Pass or whatever they call it now. So I'm going to have to check it out because I can check it out for free. It's not really free because I pay a subscription, but I can pretend it's free.
Do the thing. Do the thing.
I will. And I have been getting back into ESO because now there's other people to talk about ESO with, so I can finally get back into it and talk about it. I mean, I'm bordering on getting another fucking ESO Plus subscription because I know how much easier it makes your life.
I'm definitely considering it.
God, it makes life so much easier.
Yeah, trying to avoid definitely, it. Definitely.
Just for that craft bag, it's so worth it. Anyway. Yeah, it's pretty much the same with me. I have mildly been avoiding Warcraft. Warcraft? What's the game we play? Warframe.
Warframe. Mildly avoiding.
Yeah, I have been kind of avoiding it because I know that Orphix Venom is coming out, which is something we're going to talk about in the news. And that's when I really want to play it. At the moment, before it comes out, I'm just sort of in limbo, if you know what I mean. Although, the reality is I do have a lot of things that I need to level up, and there's an affinity booster on right now, so I really should be making use of that. And I did make a little bit of use of it. Mothop did give me a whole bunch of stuff. Thank you to Mothop. Banished has said that he's got some stuff for me as well, so I should really be getting in there and leveling stuff up. I'm just being lazy. Let's admit it. Admitted. Anyway, Warframe Podcast, it's still the start of the year. We're still in laid-back mode. We tend to see that there's a bit of drop-off in terms of listenership at this time of year because people are doing other things. They're on holidays or whatnot. So we're still in sort of semi-full operational mode, if that's what you want to call it. So rather than doing our beginner and advanced topics that people might end up missing, we're going with a couple of extra Dr. Cephalons this week, or some interesting Dr. Cephalons that we'll get to a little bit later.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Plus, of course, we've got a massive discussion planned, as always, plus all the usual shenanigans. But yeah, news, there's not much. Let's crack on into it.
All right. News.
News.
All right, Operation Orphix Venom is now in dev for all console platforms. Sadly, this new nomenclature.
What? I put that in just for you. Nomenclature.
Nomenclature.
Okay. Nomenclature.
Rightio.
It means naming freaking. Fuck, I can't even English.
You threw it in there to throw me off, and it's throwing you off. This is great. It's unclear. We aren't really sure as to the status. It's a learning experience. So we'll keep an eye on timeframes for this first notification to see how it compares to the old insert notifications. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, in the past, they used to say insert whenever they submitted it for certification with the devs, with the
console manufacturers. Teams.
Yeah. And it was really clear because that way we always knew, okay, it's all it has to be is approved by them and then it's going to be ready for us to download. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying in dev to mean all sorts of things, including just being in development internally at DE. So who knows when the hell it's going to come out. In dev does not necessarily mean the same as what insert meant. And that's my... It's not a concern that I have. I guess we just need to learn the nomenclature to see. That's just like the process of naming things, basically. It's a big word that means a name. Yeah, and I don't like it. Sorry, DE. In dev, too wishy-washy
vague.
For me.
Too vague.
Too vague, yeah. So we'll find out. We'll find out. It might actually just mean what insert meant, and it's just a little bit more DE as opposed to using the manufacturer words. I don't know. Yeah. We'll find out.
I mean, maybe for all purposes and whatnot, Orphix Venom is developed. It shouldn't be in dev. Like, it's developed.
Yeah. So, take that. Lucas told you. He knows all about how development works. He's Frankie Development Man.
Well, I don't know how development works, but I mean, it is developed. They've developed it for one thing. It's developed. It's there. It exists.
It is, but it still needs further development to move it onto different consoles. But anyway, moving right along, it's in dev. That was a long piece of thing that shouldn't have been as long as it was. Nightwave Series 3 is finally coming to an end. It will suddenly disappear on January 24th, probably the following day, because January 24th is a Sunday, so expect it'll stop at the end of that day. So make sure you've achieved your goals by then. I haven't, and I don't care.
Just want it gone.
Yeah. I'm just sort of done with it. I don't need everything anymore like I used to.
You don't need everything, no?
No.
No. That's fair. And finally, Mothop in our Discord noticed that Warframe is no longer in the Prime Gaming loot pool. Given they have been there month by month for the last 3 to 4 years, we can only assume that they have taken a break for the moment. Perhaps we'll hear back on this soon. Maybe they're fixing the system. Maybe they're prepping some epic frickin' reward for it. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, but it was well spotted, Mr. Hop.
Well spotted.
So we thought we'd let everyone out there know.
Yeah,
and DE, we've got our eye on ya. I don't know what that means, but we noticed.
Oh, I feel like there was something we're missing.
What did we miss?
DE got a nomination for something.
They did. They're nominated for Canadian Best Something Game. Hey, look at me. I didn't put it in there because the nominations are already closed.
Man.
So I thought, but
still, they've been nominated
for an award.
Yeah, the best ongoing Canadian game by Canada Game Devs.
There you go. Probably not much competition. I'm kidding.
Wow.
I'm sorry, world. If you're Canadian, please forgive me. They've already forgiven me because they're Canadian. Hey? Hey? I'm not sorry. I am a little bit. I don't know. We'll see.
Sorry, not sorry.
We'll see if I'm sorry by the end of the episode. God, I just keep digging a deeper and deeper hole.
That's all right. I'll just stand here with my bag of popcorn.
I hope it's a good bag of popcorn. Is it the sugary ones that are all different colours? Is it...
No, it's got to be, like, caramel covered.
Caramel, yeah. Or just to be in theme, you could have, like, maple.
Hey. Yeah.
Just for Canada.
Oh, you know what? I actually think Red Rock does maple flavoured popcorn.
There you go. Now Red sponsored by Red Rock.
hashtag not sponsored.
Alrighty, moving on into our discussion this week, and given Nightwave Series 3 is finally bloody coming to an end, and there's been some discussion about it in our Discord, we thought we would have a little bit of a look back at Nightwave.
Yes.
And how it's sort of changed. So, very quickly, Series 1 was Wolf of Saturn 6, of course. That one went for 12 weeks. Intermission 1 I looked back and I'm like, what? Really? Intermission 1 only went for 3 weeks and we went straight on into Series 2, which was The Emissary, which went for 15 weeks. Then we went into Intermission 2 for 23, 24 weeks thereabout, which we thought was a massive long period of time.
Oh, yeah.
And now we've been in Series 3, The Glassmaker, for 37 weeks.
Oof.
So, things have changed. Season 1 and Season 2 were very similar to each other in terms of how long they took to go through their process. Season 3 has been something different. And not only that, go.
Yeah, not only that. So, looking through our Discord chat, and it was actually Grey Archon that brought this to my attention. And he said he was going through old Nightwave season dialogue.
Yes.
And he missed the misses the episodes from season one. It felt a lot more like the sort of radio host talks about current events thing that Nightwave was billed as. And you know, he liked the crime scene investigation stuff from season three, but it was weirdly personal when you look at how Nora reacts to it. So, you know, looking at season one and season two, I agree. It was very radio host. This is happening out in the system, folks. This is the news. It's happening. Beware. But season three, it definitely felt more personal and, hey, well, check this out. Go on. We gotta find out what the hell's going on here. These events have occurred. Investigate. Go. And you know, I kind of agree with that initial statement of missing the episodes from the first couple of seasons, because it was like something completely separate, and I loved that. Don't get me wrong, I also quite enjoy the story that was given to us in Glassmaker, but I have to agree, the idea of the radio host platform build kind of thing for it was more enjoyable.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. It's hard to say exactly what's going on in DE's mind, because things, season one and season two, plus the intermissions, were all just, they all did have a radio show feel to it.
Yeah.
And Glassmaker hasn't really felt like a radio show, maybe at all.
No, absolutely not.
And that's interesting. I don't know whether that's a change they're deliberately making or whether it was just something that was overlooked while they were making and developing the Glassmaker, which it absolutely could have been. They were just making things. They thought of lines they needed to write that made sense in context of the Glassmaker and the investigations that you have to do. And maybe they just overlooked the fact that it is also a radio show and, you know, forgot to include some radio quips.
Yeah.
Which is entirely possible.
Yeah.
But season three was very, very different. In the second intermission went for a massive, massive long time, which really pissed people off.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that was mainly because of how much effort they were putting into the creation of Glassmaker.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a small jump from Emissary to Glassmaker in terms of how much difference there really is in how Nightwave has changed.
Yeah, it's not at all. I mean, Wolf of Saturn 6 had a new boss that popped in,
yep.
And that was pretty much it. The Emissary had a new boss that you had to go find, and it had some different little helpers that would pop up in your missions, but that was about it. This one included scenes. Murder scenes. Murder. I guess it's murder. Murder scenes that you had to investigate, plus a whole bunch of different writing, plus a big boss at the end, plus people that infiltrated at your missions.
Yeah, plus the dive into your lore, going back to the Orican Age. Like, it was huge. It was freaking colossal. For what it is, though, I don't feel like something like this, substantially this size, I don't think it should be implemented into the Nightwave system.
No.
Because if you take everything that we've seen in this Glassmaker series and you threw that into a single update That could literally work as a single quest line.
Yep. And they could have made it into a better quest line.
They could have, yeah.
It could have been better. If it was just a dedicated quest, I think it would have been better.
Absolutely. And if that was the case, then we probably could easily be up to Season 5 Nightwave now.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the Glassmaker for what it was.
Absolutely.
But I don't think it was in the spirit of what Nightwave originally was intended to be.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, even Wolf of Saturn 6 and the Emissary were probably a little bit larger in terms of scope as compared to what they need to be, maybe? What do you think?
Okay, so looking at the Emissary, that one did kind of enlarge in the scope a bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, especially with the involvement of placing a new boss at the time, the Derelict.
Mm.
And, you know, it gave us a boss that had mechanics.
Hmm.
So that was, you know, a bit larger on the scale. It also had, I think, multiple transformations as the series actually went on. I mean, at the beginning, you had a couple of helpers that dropped in and they would heal you as you progressed through a mission.
Oh, that's right.
And then, you know, halfway through, you started getting the infested enemies that would jump in and, you know, they would attack you instead and you had to get rid of them. And then eventually they led up to the boss. Whereas the Wolf of Saturn 6, it was basically you had the prisoners and the wolf.
Yeah.
And the prisoners and the wolf just got enhanced the further along it went. So it went from you're being attacked to you're being attacked by something a bit bulkier to you're being attacked by something a lot bulkier. Emissary was you're being helped by some strange cult. You're being attacked by said strange cult. Said strange cult is being led by demonic freaking creature child thing. And then in Glassmaker, that just completely jumped even freaking further. Actually, no. Glassmaker didn't really have anything like that. It just had the same system the whole way through. Glass shards are attacking the enemies. Your enemies now are infected with glass.
Hmm.
Like, all the way through. There was no transformation. There was no evolution of
the in-mission
things.
Yeah.
No, it was the same damn thing. And I think that might also be a massive reason why people have, like, really been begging for Glassmaker to end, because it hasn't been as... what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't
know. Yeah, no, brain. Brain's gone.
Beep.
Yeah, there hasn't been enough difference, you know? There hasn't been an ever-changing background thing. It's just been, here's a glass. Every 20 minutes, you're getting attacked by glass.
For no real reason.
No real reason. It's, glass popped up in your area.
Yeah.
Okay, but why? Glass popped up in your area.
Yeah, I mean, the story needs to be different each series, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
And each time they've only had 5 little episodes, which is great. That's all there needs to be. But I think they're getting a little bit ahead of themselves and experimenting a little bit too much in a mode that doesn't need to be experimented in. Maybe that's not a popular thing to say. Maybe some people out there love the fact that it's different every time, but I think the fact that it's different every time and it's growing and it's changing is why it's taking so long. I think if it was just as simple as Wolf of Saturn 6 every time, not exactly the same way, but you start off, you've got this enemy, you've got these little enemies around it, and you fight them slowly, and over the weeks, that enemy gets tougher, and towards the end, you can start to take that enemy down, and he's going to drop parts of his weapon and all that kind of jazz. And then at the end of the series, it just ends. You learn the story and you finally beat them at the end and haha, you're finished. I like that idea. I mean, I also like the idea of having a big boss at the end of Glassmaker and at the end of the Emissary. You know, it actually means that there's some sort of real closure to it. The problem with the Wolf of Saturn 6 was there was no final, from memory, there was no final confrontation.
You had the whole... weekend to go and farm the Wolf of Saturn 6 on Saturn.
Oh, that's right. But it still didn't feel like a closure.
No,
compared to having really, a single boss that only popped up at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, same thing for the Emissary. The Emissary actually introduced a new boss that was permanently placed.
Yeah, that ended up being permanently placed. But it's still, because it was introduced at the end of Series 2, it felt like a fitting end. It felt like something different to the rest of it. Wolf of Saturn 6, you were fighting the same boss. You were farming the same boss in the same place that you'd been fighting him the entire 12 weeks.
Yeah.
So it was good to have a different boss at the end. But if adding all those other little bits and pieces means that it takes another 23 weeks before the next Nightwave comes out. And let's face it, let's take off 15 weeks for what the length of time that the Emissary took. Glassmaker is at 35 weeks now. It's finishing on the January 24th, so that makes it 37 weeks. We take off 15 weeks. That's 22 weeks. So even if Glassmaker finished after 15 weeks, like the Emissary did, that would mean that the intermission that went after it went for 22 weeks. Same length as Intermission 2, which people were massively pissed off about because it took too long. So the Glassmaker has just been stretched out over 37 weeks to cover up an intermission. You know, that's probably being unfair on DE, but how long is the intermission going to take?
Between Intermission 2 and Glassmaker, that's a year.
Yeah.
Just between those two things, that's a fucking year right there. You look at Season 1, Intermission 1, and Season 2, and, you know, that's not even a year.
Nope. Season 1 started February 2019. Season 2 finished October 2019. So both of them happened within the space of 8 or 9 months.
Yeah. Now, personally, I honestly think that is the way it should be. You know, like, The whole idea of Nightwave originally was to be something that just simply replaced the alert system.
Yeah.
Nothing extravagantly huge, nothing over the top. It's just, okay, we're going to throw in a little bit of extra lore of what's happening in the system, and you're going to get new, like, objectives to kind of counteract the alert system. You know, simple.
Yeah.
Nice and simple. That's all it was ever really supposed to be.
I like the idea of the little sci-fi noir episodes. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Love absolutely. It. Absolutely.
But you know what?
But as a separate system.
Even with this, though, we still don't... Even without a boss, you could still just have an episode of this is what's happening, and every couple of weeks you get a new episode just telling the story of something that's happening within the system, even if you're not directly involved in it. Like, I don't know if Nightwave needs to be this big story. I mean, it is now. There's three seasons of it, and people might get upset if it changes. But could have been as simple as just having, here's your battle pass, here's your weekly challenges that you need to do to achieve the battle pass stuff, and every 3 weeks, you're going to get a little short, semi-cinematic video to tell a little story of something that's happening in the lore, and people might have been perfectly happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, okay, Season 1, Season 2, I was quite happy with the fact that, you know, while we were kind of involved, we weren't really involved. Like, the story progressed in the background without our, you know, ever really interacting with what the hell was going on. It wasn't until the end when things were turned around and went, okay, now you're involved. Now something's coming after you. Or something's getting crazy, so can you go and sort this shit out? Looking at the Emissary. You know, it was, especially looking at Season 1, like, you know, the Wolf wasn't really after you until Alad V got involved.
And that's when the story got good, too.
The Emissary wasn't really an issue until it turned out that people were throwing themselves into the infestation to have themselves turned.
Yes.
So, how they began was quite pleasant. You know, it was detached from everything else that was going on in the system. You know, had nothing to do with the war, the old war or the new war. It was just complete separate entity. Okay, so there's this faction over here that's worshipping this kid that, you know, was pulled from a freaking infested cargo freaking asteroid. You know, something happened over this way. Cool. We're hearing the news about it. That's awesome. Oh, shit. All right. The freaking dangerous inmate escaped, and he freaking took all of his people with him. You know, he broke out of a high security prison that supposedly doesn't exist. Yeah, not your issue. It's happening in the background. Someone else will sort that out. You got bigger fish to fry. Glassmaker. Oh, shit. Someone's being murdered. Investigate.
Yeah.
You are involved from step one.
Suddenly it's a big, a massive difference. And when they said, when they announced season three, Steve even said that it was something that a lot of people internally didn't agree with, but it was something he wanted to push forward with. So I guess we can blame Steve.
Blame Steve.
I mean, it was interesting. It was definitely, yes, a different way of doing things. Here's my thoughts on what I think Nightwave should be. Each season should have 5 episodes where they're telling a little story, as they're currently doing. It doesn't necessarily impact your missions that you're doing. You just do the challenges and you progress through to get the battle pass stuff that you want to get. Every couple of weeks, you've got another piece of the story. And then at the end, when all is said and done and the story's over, that's when the boss is unveiled and you go and kill them for a week or two. And you can farm for something. Maybe they have a special weapon or they have a special armor set or something. And then it's over.
And it's over. And then done, dusted.
Intermission, just to make it feel like it's an actual radio show. It would be interesting if during the intermissions, they either replayed episodes from previous series or they had ads for things that don't exist, but, you know, they can pretend exists, you know. Come to Cetus for your favorite sparkling fish liver oil or something, you know, that they can bullcrap about, some little crappy little ad with a jingle. That would be different and funny, as long as it didn't happen over and over again and annoy people. Make it feel like, yeah, a radio show. That's, yeah, what I think, exactly, it should, right, be. It should be simplified and dumbed down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And more frequent.
Go back to the roots of what it was originally supposed to be.
Yeah, I think 15 weeks is good. Every 3 weeks you get a new episode. And after 15 weeks, absolutely.
15 weeks is perfect.
Yeah, and then maybe 5, even 10 weeks in between, even a whole season's worth, even a whole 15 weeks in between for intermission would be fine. 15 weeks on, yeah, new stuff, 15 weeks off, old stuff, so you can try and get stuff you missed out on. 15 weeks on for new stuff, 15 weeks off. I think that would be a good system, predictable stuff people like. People like predictability.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. Are we at all saying Glassmaker was bad?
No.
No. But it was different and not in the way it should have been.
Yeah. And if the next season is similar to Glassmaker, will I be disappointed?
Then fuck.
Maybe. I don't know.
It hard to say. Hard to say. It depends on whether or not they fix the underlying issues that came with Glassmaker.
Yeah. And how long is the intermission going to be? And is the development of something to the scale of Glassmaker an impediment on development of other things?
New war.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's a team who works on Nightwave who is unrelated to the other stuff, in which case, okay, cool. But I don't think there is.
Mm. Mm.
So, anything else you want to say about Nightwave? I think we had a really good discussion, better than I thought it was going to be. Go, Lucas.
Yeah, no, I think we're good. I think we've come to the end here of this discussion. You know, we're not at all saying that Glassmaker was bad.
No.
Just clarifying that. It was good in its own way.
Exactly. And Nightwave itself is not bad. In fact, I prefer it to the old alert system. There's probably a lot of old school people out there that prefer to choose, pick and choose as they used to, and good luck to you, but I prefer this way.
Nightwave in its you know, general what it was originally seen to be is already more interactive than the alert system.
Mm.
And that's all we need. You know, it's just there's no need to go ridiculously big for it. As I stated earlier, the Glassmaker would have been perfectly fine as its own standalone quest line.
Yeah. With the frame at the end.
With a frame and weapon at the end. There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our thoughts. Whether you agree or disagree, hit us up. Be gentle about things. We've all just got our own opinions, and it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Keep that in mind. Don't attack people over a video game. Be kind. It's, be good to each other. If 2020 exactly. taught us anything, just be good to each other. That's all I can say. Anyway, where are we up to, Lucas?
Community call out.
Yeah.
Cool. So, community call out. Hi, community. We're calling you out. Hi.
Hi.
You're awesome.
Love ya.
Yeah. We don't have any community call outs this week. Last week's was a beauty. If you missed last week's, you should go back and listen to it because Banished gives an awesome tip for leveling your Necromex.
Necromex.
Yes, the word slipped from my mind. And given Orphix Venom is about to come out on consoles and you'll be able to buy Necromex so you don't have to farm them if it's been a pain in the ass for you, that will be a good tip. So
I guess No, it's in development.
Yeah. Sorry. So yeah, that's a double call out for Banished, I guess. Hey.
Handsome fella. Double call out. Yay. 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. All right, where are we up to now? Just to annoy Kiwi.
Just to annoy Kiwi.
King Louis blessing.
Alright, this one, we okay. Folks, my backlog's empty. Alright. So unfortunately, because of that, I'm gonna hand it over to Greg because Greg has a King Louis blessing that he personally created.
I did.
So come on, get that backlog filled up.
Woo! And before we do get into my King Louis blessing, we do have a new intro that I'll play now. We just wanted to annoy Kiwi because he hates it and created this new intro. So let us know whether you like it or whether you want us to go back to doing it ourselves.
King Louis' blessing.
All right. So it's pretty good. It's pretty long, though. Maybe it's too long.
Maybe.
But anyway, maybe. King Louis' blessing, my King Louis' blessing is something that I might have gotten from the community. I can't remember whether I heard someone talking about it somewhere or whatnot. It's been a long time since King Louis the Helminth has been released on us, so I could have heard it somewhere. But I took Well of Life off Trinity, and I put Firewalker on there instead from Nezha. So basically that means that now I have Energy Vampire so I can give my good friends energy. I have Bless so I can give people health and refill their shields. And I now have Firewalker so that I can clear status as well and do some damage to enemies that may run around and be near me. So I think this turns Trinity into the perfect support frame, and Well of Life is basically useless once you've got Blessing unlocked anyway. That's my thoughts.
Nice.
So I have used her a little bit on PS4, and I was quite happy with that build. Yeah, she's good. She's Trinity. Trinity's awesome. That's all. Enough said.
Firewalker does seem to be quite a popular ability when it comes to the Helminth system.
Because it's a good ability, let's face it.
It is a good ability, yes.
It's a really good base ability.
I like that build. Do you have a name for it?
Firewalker Trinity. Ah, I know! Hey! Firewalk with me. Trinity. Do you know where that comes from?
Nope.
I'm not sure if people will. I'll give you 5 seconds. Mainly because I had to think of it myself. Twin Peaks.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, there was a sequel movie that was made that was called Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. There you go. I was a big Twin Peaks fan back in the 90s. God, I'm old. Anyway, reviews update. We didn't get any new reviews this week. Sad panda. We're still at 140 reviews, which is still pretty good, and we're proud of that. But we did have one in the backlog from iTunes US. Would you like to read this one out, Lucas? Yes, you would.
I shall. Yes, yes. It's nice to have something in the backlog.
Mm.
iTunes US, Column 11, Podcast Rambles, 5-star. The show is good, and good stuff is good. Do the thing and listen to the cast.
I think we've got like some phrases or something.
I think we do.
Craziness. Crazy talk. Thank you, Columb 11. Columb. Thank you to Columb. You, Columbus.
Yeah.
We appreciate the 5-star review. We appreciate any review, really. And we appreciate the fact that you think the show is good and that good stuff is good, because you're right, good stuff is good. That's correct.
Yes. And you should definitely do the thing and listen to the cast.
Indeed, you should. All right. That brings us to the last regular segment for the week. And I do have a few of these in here. So let's crack on into it. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Let's do it. Go.
Dr. Cephalon.
Dr. Cephalon. I just felt that.
It felt good.
Glad I'm sitting. All right. Framed for Nothing gives us this. Dear Dr. Cephalon, who's your favorite frame gets asked a lot, but I'm curious what your favorite frames are based on lore. That's a really interesting question, and I thumbs that one up as soon as I saw it, because I thought it was a good question.
Hell yes. And I already have two answers straight up.
Two?
One of them. Two. There's two frames that I love that is purely based on their lore.
And is that based on Leverian lore or older school?
One is based on Leverian lore, the other is not.
Interesting. Cool. Do it. Go.
Yes. Chroma.
Yes, okay.
Chroma is my first pick, and that is specifically for the lore of that, you know, is tied to his fourth ability, and then he literally just saw a sentient dead on the floor, and he picked it up and went, this is mine now, and he threw it over his back and was like, cool, effigy is now part of my outfit.
Mm-hmm. I want to know what he was before, though. They haven't gone into that. Silly.
Yeah, his abilities before effigy would have been interesting.
Fully sick, yo. And is your second one Grendel?
Oh, no. Second one is Larvos.
Okay.
I don't care who you are, you get in that Leverian right frickin' now and you check out Larvos' lore, because, oh my god, Larvos is a beast.
I haven't checked that out yet. I forgot to do it.
I suggest it. It's worth it. It's really freaking cool and easily one of the best pieces of lore I've seen tied to a frame in this game thus far.
Fair enough. Interesting. I've got two as well. I've got three. Fuck it. I'm going three. One is Harrow. Chains of Harrow is just such an amazing story. And it's just, it's brilliant. If you haven't played Chains of Harrow as yet, you should play Chains of Harrow, because it's amazing. Second is Inaros, for similar reasons. Inaros has a pretty good storyline. I think it goes too long for what it is, because the storyline is actually, the story they're telling is very short, but the story that plays out in game plays out for freaking ages. So Inaros has a cool, sort of sad storyline. But probably my favorite, and this is completely on point for me, on brand, if you will, Valkyria.
I fucking knew it.
Because she is a little psycho that was torn apart and didn't take it too kindly.
Torch changes a person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's my girl.
Excellent. Excellent choices. I do agree with those choices, actually. They're pretty damn good ones. You know, Chains of Harrow being D's attempt at a horror mission, and they hit the nail on the head with that one.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazingly done. Inaros really, really well done, in-depth story, looking at... it kind of had a bit of a PTSD vibe to it when you look at the character actually involved in telling the story.
Yeah, yep, it kind of does.
And yeah, Valkyr, that is a classic and amazing story tied to Alad V. Freaking awesome. Yeah, I agree. They are good stories.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier, and I was thinking there's actually quite a few really good, interesting stories. Gaara's got a great story behind her. Revenant's got an interesting story behind him.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Octavia's story is pretty cool. Protea, so-so. I would say. I wouldn't say it's amazing, but it's pretty good.
For a more recent frame, especially. Was it Ivara's Laverian?
Oh, yeah, Ivara's one was very good.
Oh, yeah, so good.
Very good. So, interesting question. Thank you for that, Framed for Nothing. Next up, and an extension upon that, Wooshy asks, Dear Dr. Cephalon, and to add to that, what are your favourite frames based on aesthetic?
Chroma, it's a dragon.
I would say Valkyr, because she's a psychopath, and I like it. But I am going to say two. There are two that I like based on aesthetic. Korra. I like Korra because I think she just looks good in her base. Her base frame looks good and is spiky, and who doesn't like spikes? And the other one that I love very much is Garuda. All female frames. I just think Garuda... in terms of aesthetic, she definitely has a vampire feel to me. I don't think she really pulled it off as being a vampire frame, but I think she's got a vampire feel, a little bit of a regal vampire feel to her, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your thoughts?
I'm gonna say Chroma because he's a dragon.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. Although he does look a little bit like a melted dragon.
Okay, Chroma Prime.
That's better. I'm glad you clarified that because he looks like a melted He-Man toy. I've seen a few.
Also going to say Limbo because I just love the gentleman vibe he's got going. You know, the top hat and everything.
He looks like
really works. Hey?
Nothing. You know my feelings on Limbo.
yeah. And, Lavos. I'm going to go with Lavos again because not only does the aesthetic behind him tie well to his lore, but it also gives you, like, tells you exactly the kind of frame he's supposed to be, and you know, that is exactly what he is. He is the alchemy frame, and it is so well done, so fantastically designed. Yeah, I'll give it to Lavos again.
Lavos does look pretty fantastic, and...
absolutely.
As an extra throw-in, I'm going to say Titania. Just because she also looks the part.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what she is.
Yep.
Alrighty, and as an additional...
oh, God.
Dr. Cephalon, this one I just threw in there because I thought it was also a good question. We didn't do beginner and advanced topics, so we're going to do an extra Dr. Cephalon. This one is from Shade0922. Question is, Dear Dr. Cephalon, the game is all about the grind. Grind assassinations for frame pieces, grind survivals for materials, grind bounties for standing. What part of the game would you like to see the grind reduced slightly, 10 to 15% easier or faster? And what part of the game would you like to see the grind become more difficult, 10 to 15% slower or harder? Interesting. I don't personally think any of the grind should become more difficult.
I agree, the grind should not become any more difficult, and for the most part, I don't think the grind should become any more easier, for the most part.
Yeah, I'm the same.
There are specifics.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a couple of areas I would say, no, it needs to get easier. Let's start Saren. With the one. Oh, okay.
Saren.
Okay, you've got some specific frame ideas. Yeah, there's a few specific frames that need to be easier. Saren's one, Harrow's another.
Nidus. Saren and Nidus are my two freaking big ones.
They come down to your luck. We did have someone in the Discord the other day that got all of Nidus's pieces in four runs.
They do, yes, I agree. Equinox. But looking, see, Equinox isn't that bad.
Mm.
Equinox is not that bad. Like, most of the parts of Equinox are actually evenly chanced.
It's a fun boss.
But when you look at something like Saren, and the fact that you have to not only do Kel'Dathane, which is a pain in the ass fight as it is, but also the
Rathum.
The Rathum to get the points to be allowed to fight Kel'Dathane.
And
it's a pain in the ass. And you need a secondary piece of Saren specifically to build base Chroma.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it is the one with the worst drop chance.
Exactly. So probably just enhance that drop chance on that specific piece just a little bit. Yeah. Tweak it so it's even with the others.
That's fair. I was going to say K-drives.
K what?
K-drives. The grind on K-drives is ridiculous and stupid.
K what?
You heard me. Stop playing your silly game.
They don't exist.
Yeah. Well, for people who are grinding for mastery, they certainly do exist. They're dumb. They're stupid. They shouldn't even require grinding for mastery, in my opinion.
They really should.
It's not 10 to 15% easier or faster. They should just take the mastery rank out of those altogether. Yeah. Unfortunately, they can't. They're there now.
It's not even just that. Like, it's mastery and reputation.
And reputation, exactly.
Tied to a single frickin' object. It's like, that is just...
Yeah,
way over the fucking top.
And I also think, and this might not be popular with some of the more hardcore players, but I also think that amps take too long to grind, and there's too many of them. But that's just
maybe,
because
maybe too many. Maybe too many. Actually, big important one. Don't lock frames behind reputation grind.
Yeah, reputation grind sucks.
Baruch and Hildren need to be removed from that reputation grind.
What do you think about Larvos as a grind?
As it stands right now, because he's a part of the event. Actually, is the event? No, the event's still going on for PC.
Yeah.
I think as a grind right now, he's ridiculously easy to get.
I think that grind is fantastic. I don't know how he's going to be once that event ends.
Yeah, now that's going to be interesting. Because as it stands, he's fairly cheap to purchase with the event points.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if you don't get enough points, you still also have the chance of getting pieces drop in the mission itself. Each piece has the same percentile chance of dropping as all the other pieces. So, if you're doing the high tier endurance run, that's 4% chance on each of his pieces on rotation A.
Dropping. Yeah,
4%. I mean, it's not high, but you can also purchase his pieces because of the event. So 4% plus the purchase, it's nice and balanced.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think that's the way that the reputation grind should work, personally. All of the pieces should be available at the base reputation level. Just make them a bit more expensive. And that way people have to choose between whether they want to grind reputation or get that piece.
Yeah.
I think burying them behind the top tiers of reputation is just a bad
move. It's not even just tying them behind the top tiers of a reputation. It's tying them to a reputation behind a reputation in the top tier of a reputation.
Yeah, very good point. Where they're located is another story entirely. So that's a good point.
It's like, okay, so you have to get rank 5 with Fortuna, and then you have to get rank 5 with what comes after Fortuna.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a pain.
God! Why?
So, interesting question. I think, in reality, the game is about the grind, and if you enjoy Warframe, you probably like the grind, because if you don't, then why the hell are you playing it? Personally, I think one of the reasons I play Warframe is because of the grind. I'm not going to be one of those people that go, oh, I hate grind, and then play Warframe. Like, it doesn't make sense. No, I play Warframe because of the grind. I enjoy it. I enjoy going after specific things like that, so... I like the grind, and for the most part, I think the grind is fairly well balanced. There are certain material grinds that I don't necessarily agree with, especially between...
Did you use apples?
Pardon?
Mutagen samples.
Oh, mutagen samples is one. And especially between locations, like having to grind both Fortuna and Cetus to get some pieces for, I can't remember what it is, Deimos, I think it is, to build Necromex. No thanks.
Yeah.
That's just not a great idea. But I don't think the amount you need to get's a big problem. It's just a pain in the ass, but yeah.
For what the game has in it at the moment, I would say 80% of it is well balanced.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. For the most part, most of the grind in Warframe is balanced perfectly.
Oh, don't know about perfectly, but pretty well.
80% of it. 80% of it is balanced perfectly.
Anyway, anything else you want to say on that? I don't.
Nope. Good to move on.
Indeed. I was just going to move on from that because that would have been another 20-minute discussion. That brings us to the end. It has been a lengthier episode than I expected it to be, so cool. Go us for talking stuff.
And yay,
go you for asking thing. Good questions too. The Dr. Cephalon questions were really, really good today. So don't forget to reach out to us with your questions. There's a couple of ways of doing that. Of course, cephalonsquared.com. There is a place that you can contact us there. Otherwise, it also has links to our Discord and our Facebook, so you can contact us through there. On Discord, we've got a dedicated channel, which is called Podcast Question Time, I think I called it. Maybe I should change it to Dr. Cephalon. Whatever. Podcast Question Time is what it's called at the moment. Otherwise, send us an email, cephalonsquared@gmail.com. You can get in contact with us for any reason, even just to say that the timbre of Lucas's voice makes your nipples vibrate, if that's what happens. I don't know if that's the truth. What? I'm not saying that's what happens to me. I'm not saying my nipples are constantly vibrating while we're making these episodes at all. Didn't say that once. I don't know what's going on with my brain sometimes. I
don't even know.
If you'd like to support us, and I don't know why you would at this stage, head on over to cephalonsquared.com/support and find out all about that. Let's say thank you to our patrons.
Thank you, Jellybug1799.
Thank you, CoyotePX.
Thank you, Jackson31.
Thank you, Kintail.
Thank you, Shazim.
Thank you, Implosive_MKV.
Thank you, Framed for Nothing.
Thank you, Dylan Braun.
Thank you, Solarian.
Thank you, Ponytail.
Thank you, Xenomortis.
Thank you, La Dutchmaster. And that is the end of the list. I paused too long, but I edited out, so this song seems useless. Anyway, I think I need a rest. Thank you to Jan at Disco_Box on Twitter for the intro and outro. Thank you to you for listening. My name is Greg Newbig and I'm Mad Capsules all over the interwebs. Who are you, Lucas?
Hi, I'm Lucas Silvestri. I'm Silverlight all over the interwebs. SILVRLGHT. Massive shout out to our fantastic, amazing, immaculate community. You guys rock. Keep frickin' rocking. Love you all.
Indeed. Keep rocking. That's a good point you make there, Lucas.
It is a good point.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com, where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.